helping to secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. This is the Constitution Study on the America Out Loud Network with your host, Paul Engel. We've all had jerks on social media. The one that you have to block because of their language or just because they're being a jerk. But what if you're a public official? Can you block one of your constituents from your social media page? Well, in a couple of recent SCOTUS cases, people sued public officials for blocking them from their social media pages. Today, we'll take a look at how SCOTUS decided these cases. But hello there, everyday Americans. Paul Engel here with the Constitution Study, where we read and study the Constitution, teach the rising generation to be free. I'm glad you could join me today. You know, I get into a lot of Supreme Court cases, reviewing these cases, and I'm not a lawyer. I don't pretend to be one on TV, but then again, I've read the Constitution many, many, many times. I've studied it. So I think I'm in a pretty good position to look at this. And today I'm going to look at two cases that were recently decided by the Supreme Court. One is O'Connor-Ratcliffe versus Garnier, and the other is Link versus Freed. Now, both of these cases have something in common. They involve a citizen who is blocked from a public official's Facebook page. And they, in both cases, they sued the people involved because they were claiming they were being denied the right to petition their government for redress of grievance, to express themselves. At least that's the way I see it. They may have been actually using a free speech, scenario. But I've talked about these in other places. I don't want to get too deep in the details. I want to take a quick look at the decision that was made, the opinions that were issued, and why they are important. In the first of the two cases, which is actually Link versus Freed, a gentleman by the name of James Freed created a Facebook profile. Apparently after this is way back in 2008. He was posting after COVID, and some of the posts were personal. Some contained information related to his job. And another user, a Facebook user, Kevin Lint, commented on some of Freed's posts. Now, that's not the point here. The point is Freed deleted Link's comments and ultimately blocked him from commenting at all. Now, Link sued Freed under what's Title 42, Section 1983 of the United States Code. That is the code the federal code that says you can sue a government official for deprivation of rights under color of law. See, as Link saw it, he had the right to comment on Freed's Facebook page because it was a public forum. Now, in this case, the district court determined that Freed managed his Facebook page in his private capacity, and because only state actions can give rise to a liability under 1983, Link claim failed. All right, so the idea is the court said, listen, Mr. Freed created his Facebook page. It's a personal Facebook page. Yes, he talks about his work, but it is not an official state site. He isn't performing state actions when he posts on that page. Therefore, he cannot be sued under 1983 because he's doing it as a private citizen. Now, in the other case, which is O'Connor-Ratcliffe versus Garnier, there were actually two people, Michelle O'Connor-Ratcliffe and a TJ Zane, and they had created public Facebook pages to promote their campaigns for the Poway Unified School District Board of Trustees. Now, Christopher and Kimberly Garnier, who have children at the PUSD, often criticized the Board of Trustees. So they began posting and comments and a lot, and they got fed up with it. And the trustees deleted the Garnier's comments before blocking them from commenting altogether. So the Garniers sued the trustees, again, under 1983, for a violation of their First Amendment rights. Now, the Ninth Circuit said that, yes, the state action requirement under 1983 was satisfied because there was a close nexus between the trustees' use of social media pages and their official position. Now, since the circuit case in Link said one thing, and in O'Connor Ratcliffe said another, the Supreme Court said, all right, let's step in, let's look at these two, and let's make a decision. All right, so we go back to Linked. And this is the official, the holding. He said, a public official who prevents someone from commenting on the official's social media page engages in state action under 1983 only if the official both possessed actual authority to speak on the state's behalf on a particular matter and purported to exercise that authority when speaking in the relevant social media posts. Okay, let me turn this into normal English. Let's say you're a public official and you're posting on your Facebook page or whatever social media page. Do you have the actual authority to speak on that subject on behalf of the state? Now, remember, we're dealing with school districts a lot, and do they have the authority? Are they speaking? Do they have the authority to speak in official capacity? For example, if a school board member posts on their social media page about a matter that has to deal with the county sheriff, well, they don't actually have the authority to speak on the sheriff's behalf. That's kind of it's got to be relevant to their actual job. The other thing is they have to actually claim they are exercising that authority when they speak. Meaning, again, let's take the point of a school board. Let's say there's a contentious school board meeting and somebody wishes to, they don't like the outcome. And a school board member says, listen, personally, I disagree, but this was the decision of the, that's not speaking in their capacity as a school board member. On the other hand, if they say, listen, I'm a member of the school board, this is dumb, this is stupid, they are speaking, right? So that's the distinction in Linked is that they have to have the authority to speak on behalf of the state, and they actually have to be claiming they're speaking on the authority of the state in order for you to sue under 1983 for being blocked. Now, in the O'Connor Ratcliffe case, they kind of looked back to the Lind case. They said, we granted certiorari in this case and in Linked versus Freed to resolve a circuit split about how identifying state actions in the context of public officials using social media. Because the approach that the Ninth Circuit applied was different from the one we elaborated in Linked, we vacate the judgment below and remand the case to the Ninth Circuit for further proceedings consistent with our opinion. So they said, listen, Ninth Circuit, in this case of O'Connor Ratcliffe, your decision was not based on the standard we just set in Linked versus Freed, so go back and figure it out. Now, part of the reason why I brought this to you today is there's been a fair amount of brouhaha in the media world about these opinions and what they actually say. The court didn't say, yes, you can sue public officials for blocking your Facebook, your posts, for blocking individuals on social media. No, it set the standard, what I think is a fairly rational standard. I haven't gone through the opinions yet. I probably will at some point in the near future. But from what I'm seeing, just from the syllabus, just from the opening, it seems like a reasonable statement, right? You can't be sued for blocking content on a post that isn't related to your job. And how do we know if it's related to your job? Well, you have to have the authority to speak, and you have to claim you're speaking in your capacity as a public official. And again, the reason I bring this up is because I'm looking at two headlines, both about this same story. One from the New American says, Supreme Court, public officials can be sued for blocking on social media. And at the very same time, Epoch Times says, Supreme Court rules public officials may block their constituents on social media. Now, both of them are technically true because both of them are giving you half of the answer. They're looking at half of the opinion and saying, oh, okay, yes, you can You can sue them if they illegitimately block your content. If they don't illegitimately block your content, then no, you can't sue them. So it's why I say, you know, don't just read the headlines. Because again, I look at these headlines. If all you did was look at these headlines, you'd have two diametrically opposed opinions. That's why we spend a little time and look at the details. Now, while we're dealing with the Supreme Court, let's look at this one. So Justice Alito, he oversees the federal circuit that covers Texas, has extended his administrative stay on Texas Senate Bill 4. Now, the Texas Senate bill was designed, basically said it was a state crime to violate federal immigration law, summarizing up very, very generally, right? The idea was, since the federal government wasn't enforcing federal immigration law, the state would say, fine, we'll just call it our state law as well, and we'll arrest them and process them as a state. Now, back on March 4th, I believe, the Justice Alito issued a stay because they wanted more time to look at the details. And back on March 12th, he extended it even further. Now, I know a lot of people I've heard several people that are trying to infer the sentiment of the court, or at least of Justice Alito, in this case, base of this. And again, the Texas law says, listen, it is a state crime to cross the Texas-Mexico border outside of legal points of entry and can be punished as a Class B misdemeanor. I am kind of curious about this. Because again, you go back to the Constitution, the power to regulate immigration is not delegated to the United States. That the U.S.-Mexico border also includes, part of it is the Texas-Mexico border. And as a state, as an entity with some sovereignty, they have a right to control who comes into their state outside of the rules established by the Constitution. And that's the issue. I'm not sure yet. Part of me is hoping that that Mr. Alito is being overly cautious, in that he thinks there might be an issue here, so he doesn't want a bunch of people deported or arrested, and then it's found that it was unconstitutional, and then you have to do that. That's my guess, is, you know, when in doubt, most justices want to leave the status quo alone. There may be other things that are going on, but I want to give you, say, the real skinny on what's going on from what I've seen. Not the hyperbolic, Alito's, overturning Texas law. No, I think Alito's just being overly cautious, because it is a very contentious issue. And for those who follow precedent rather than the supreme law of the land, it's a sticky issue. And I point that out for one important reason, right? If you simply follow the Constitution, it's a relatively simple question. But since we don't follow since courts rarely follow the Constitution, they follow it sometimes, then it's more likely that there's going to be complicated. Nobody can complicate a simple sentence more than an attorney. And since judges were once attorneys, that's, I think, why we're sitting in the current mess we are with this particular case. And of course, the mess is not just Texas. We're talking about a real problem with immigration. There's problems with the immigration laws. There's problems with their implementation. And I have some stories I want to talk about after the break that I think will maybe bring some of that into focus. But before I go, you know, do you want to stop supporting companies that seem like they're out to get us? They're after our rights. They're after our liberties. How about you buy from companies that actually believe what you and I believe? Patriot Mobile is America's only Christian conservative wireless provider. They have the best nationwide 4G and 5G coverage on all different networks. In fact, they use the same towers as the major carriers, so you get the service you want, where you want. They have plans for any budget. Their 100% U.S.-based customer support team is excellent. I'm amazed at how good they are. And you know, more importantly, Patriot Mobile shares our values. They support organizations fighting for religious freedom, your constitutional rights, the sanctity of life, and for veterans and first responders. So switch to Patriot Mobile today. Get free activation by using the code Constitution at checkout. Head to patriotmobile.com/constitution to find out more. But again, use that promo code Constitution at checkout and you'll receive free activation. Speaking of companies I trust, one of them is HealthyCell. Now, I travel sometimes for work, and that's usually when I would get sick. Well, not anymore. See, HealthyCell has a product called the Immune Super Boost. It combines over a dozen immune supplements in one travel-ready gel pack. That's right. I throw them in my bag when I leave. I throw them in my briefcase when I'm on the road. And I simply take one every day. It's a gel pack, so I open up and drink them directly. Some people like to mix it in water or something like that. Now, as an America Out Loud listener, you can get 25% off your first order of anything from HealthyCell. Find out how at americaoutloud.shop. Right? You can find the ad for all of our HealthyCell products. Click them, check them out. What you want to do is use the code OUTLOUD at checkout. So again, find out more at americaoutloud.shop, but be sure to use the code OUTLOUD at checkout. It lets them know that you listen to America Out Loud, and as a thank you, you get 25% off your first order.
Maintaining a strong immune system has never been more critical. Nutrition company HealthyCell created Immune Super Boost to help you strengthen your immunity, unlike other supplements that don't work. Immune Super Boost is not a pill. It's a gel you swallow with ultra absorption of science-backed nutrients proven to support immunity, like vitamin C, D3, zinc, elderberry, and echinacea. Go to HealthyCell.com and use limited time code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first order. Risk-free. Love it or your money back. Guaranteed. HealthyCell.com, code out loud. Cardiovascular disease is the leading cause of death and disability. Today's high-stress, on-the-go lifestyle makes it hard to stay heart healthy. Lifestyle changes like exercise and diet are critical, but you can also support your heart with concentrated nutrients. HealthyCell created Heart and Vascular Health to support three aspects of heart health: cholesterol, blood pressure, and triglycerides, with CoQ10, vitamin K2, resveratrol, and soluble fiber. And HealthyCell's not a pill. It's a patent-pending gel you swallow with ultra-absorption of science-backed ingredients. You would need to take 13 pills to get the same amount of nutrients in each gel pack. And these great-tasting gels come in a small packet. Tear off the top, shoot it down, or mix it in water. Get heart healthy. Go to HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first order. HealthyCell.com, code OUTLOUD for 25% off.
World-class care from doctors you can trust, all from the comfort of your home. That is One Wellness. Dr. Peter McCullough and his team at The Wellness Company launched the One Wellness membership to provide free monthly supplements and unlimited telemedicine access with doctors that share your values. The Wellness Company's chief medical board designed every supplement and medical protocol with your health in mind. From groundbreaking supplements like the Spike Support Formula to unique care like Freedom from Big Pharma. Join a healthcare system that puts your health and well-being above the interest of Big Pharma's bottom line. It's the way healthcare should be, with a company that shares your values. Go to OutLoudCare.com today and use code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first month of One Wellness.
Welcome back, Everyday Americans. You've rejoined the Constitution Study. And today, we were talking about SCOTUS and the social media post blocking question. We went from there to start talking about immigration. We talked about the extended injunction against Texas Senate Bill 4 and making it a state crime to cross the Texas-Mexico border anywhere other than an official checkpoint. But this came about because of the craziness, the insanity we have with our immigration policy, with the laws and with their implementation. Victor Davis Hanson was on the Hannity program, And I don't agree with him 100% on his conclusions, but he did seem to express fairly well the situation that we're in.
Governor DeSantis is smart enough to figure out there's no way Biden's going to do anything about what is likely going to be a large influx from Haiti. So he's already putting measures to protect his own state, kind of like what Governor Abbott's been having to do. Your reaction, Victor Davis Hanson.
Well, I think we're getting back to every man for himself, every state for themselves. There is no federal immigration law. Biden destroyed it.
And I guess, like I said, this I agree with. He's got a point. That now Biden destroyed it. It was crippled under previous administrations, but right now, yeah, it's pretty much destroyed. And as I heard more than one person describe, every state's now a border state because they're flying them in from the border states, from foreign countries, and they're dropping them all over the country. Now, the question then becomes, why? Why would the Biden administration be doing this? And again, let's listen to Victor Davis Hanson. I don't agree with him with 100%, but I think he's got a handle on the idea for the most part.
It shows you how desperate they are to do something stupid, to let 8 million people in from some of the most violent places in the world. And why are they doing it, Sean? I guess the prime directive is to get future constituencies who under mail-in balloting may be of value. And
see, I think it's not necessarily the mail-in ballots. I think that may be part of it. That's certainly a possibility. But as I discussed before, I think there's actually something a little more subtle underneath it. Remember, members in the House and by extension, presidential electors are distributed, apportioned based on population, based on numbers. Well, if you bring in more numbers and you see them where you want more political control, well, that'd be a pretty good way come next census to actually gain more power. That's why is that why we see these so many of these illegal immigrants in New York and in California and states like that, and maybe we see less of them in, well, Texas has had quite a few. So I don't know. We may not agree, but I don't think we know the full answer yet. But again, letting 8 million people in this country illegally, let them break the law and come on in and effectively reward them for doing so, that to me it seems pretty foolish unless there's another agenda in mind.
They figure that, you know, to make this beautiful, diverse DEI omelet, they have to break a few eggs, like, you know, unfortunately, like Laken Riley or Kate Steinle, whom they consider just collateral damage. They don't really care about these people who were tragically killed or harmed or maimed. And they feel they're going to be protected, Sean. They have the money, the influence, the zip codes, that these policies will never lap up on their shores. The irony, final irony really quickly is, if they bring all these people in and they're located in the barrio and the inner city and East Palestine, Ohio, and working class communities, they're going to alienate a lot of people.
And that's probably true. They may alienate a lot of people, and they may even alienate some of their base. We've seen according to polling, record support among Black and Latinos for Donald Trump. There's something, I think, to it. I'm not entirely in agreement with Mr. Hanson, but that's fine. We can have differing point of views, and let's express both point of views here and put up our sides and, well, let you decide which one makes the most sense. But at the heart of it, what we're dealing with is we're dealing with a lot of chaos because the man that was elected president, now, not talking about the problems in the election and all that, but this man has established policies that that have allowed illegal immigrants to not only enter this country, but enter in incredible numbers. I mean, unheard of numbers. We've seen encouragement. We've seen states, cities, and yes, the Biden administration encourage illegal entry into this country. And not only are states like Texas and Arizona dealing with it, states like Florida, states like New York. New York City is now flooded with illegal aliens taking up many of their their public services, their public resources, to the point where they're begging for help. They're begging for assistance. They're not the only one. But this is what's been happening from these policies. And I have to ask the American people, do you like this? Is this what you thought when you would get when you cast your ballot for an elector for good old Lunchbox Joe? You really shouldn't be surprised, but is this really what you want? And again, it's not just a federal question. It's a state question as well. For example, recently, Arizona Governor Katie Hobbs vetoed legislation that was very similar to Texas's SB4. It would make it a state crime to enter Arizona outside of an official port of entry. But then she turned around and she sent a letter asking Congress, with the support of the two Arizona senators, Kyrsten Sinema and Mark Kelly, for more than $750 million to support the southern border. So that seems to be a bit of a mixed message, possibly. I don't know why she vetoed the bill to make it a state law to enter Arizona outside of a port of entry. I would be guessing, and I try not to guess. I try to not assume what other people are thinking when they do things. I mean, I'm not in their shoes. I don't know what's going on. But it seems to be, as I agree with Governor Abbott in Texas, if you're not going to deal with them, we're going to have our own tools to deal with this problem. But that's not what Arizona wants. And that's not what Arizona wants. That's Arizona's right. People elected Ms. Hobbs to be their governor, and she vetoed that to legislation because she didn't think it was right. That's the decision of the people of Arizona. But then to turn around and say, oh, by the way, we want $750 million to support the southern border, a little bit seems like, well, we want someone else to help pay for the problem. Now, again, this is a bit complicated because for decades, we've been living under the lie that the only people who can set and enforce immigration law is the federal government. As I've told you, the Constitution does not delegate immigration as a power to the United States. Naturalization, yes. Immigration, no. So there's a problem there. And too many of the states, I think, have just gotten comfortable with allowing the federal government to do it. And they complain when the federal government didn't do a good job, but that's kind of normal. But now when the federal government has effectively collapsed our immigration system, now they're saying, well, here, give us money to fix this. And I guess the money wouldn't technically go to Arizona. It would go to Customs and Border Protection to help deal with the shelter and services programs. And those don't actually stop the flow of immigrants. Just give us money to house them when they're here. And you don't think that encourages immigrants to come here legally or otherwise? You don't think that doesn't have a say an impact with what's been going on? And I'll tell you what, there are signs that some people are getting fed up. Now, I've talked before about the CBP1, the Customs Border Protection 1 app that allows people to request asylum before they get to the border. They don't even have to be in Mexico. Now, understand, the humanitarian asylum program was put in place to deal with true emergencies, natural disasters, medical emergencies, stuff like that. Not, hey, we're just going to let people in because they're looking for a better job. But you see, we have the CBP1 app, and that's been used to fly, they call them migrants. I still call them aliens because I don't know yet if they actually want to migrate to the United States or they're just coming here temporarily for a better job. We don't know, or for other reasons, which are also possible. But as I understand it, more than 300,000 illegal aliens have been imported into the United States, flown into the United States, based using this CBP1 program. 300,000. I think they've gone to more than 40 different cities. Well, according to a recent Rasmussen Report survey, people are not happy with it. 60% of those surveyed oppose the program. 46% strongly oppose the program. Now, not surprisingly, your Republicans and independents overwhelmingly oppose the program, but even the Democrats are split. 39% oppose, 38% support. That's about as close to a 50-50 split as you can get. And then the question is, well, what is the impact of 300,000 immigrants on these 43 cities? Which, by the way, the administration refused to identify what cities they're sending them to. Which, again, brings up a question. Are they sending them to largely Democratic cities where they're going to tend to, where they're going to increase the maybe a state's impact in future elections, right? With the new Congress after the census and the Electoral College, the presidential electors? Are they sending them to, say, more Republican states in an attempt to influence and overwhelm there, hoping that they may have an impact on the election, either legally through their own, you know, through just the weight they bring, or illegally by finding ways for them to vote? We don't know. There's a whole lot of not knowing going on, and that should disturb us. This should disturb all of us. Because what do we really know about the people that we are importing into our country? Now, my guess is the vast majority of these people are just, they're looking for a better life. They're trying to get away from corruption and crime. They're looking for a better job. They're looking to send money home. I'm sure that if we were to look at the numbers, if we could find these people, then, yeah, I would not be surprised if the majority were coming here for, we'll just say, non-evil reasons. They still broke the law to get here, but they're not evil reasons, right? But what percentage of them are coming here with ill intent? I mean, think about that. How many are coming here? There's more and more reports of people coming into the country illegally for the purpose of committing crime. I just heard a report where people are coming in. I forget which Latin American country it was. They come here. They're here for a couple of weeks. They scout out. They commit high-end burglary. And then either book it back to their home country or hide out as long as they can because the lucrativeness of the crime. There are, of course, you've got the drug cartels that are shipping drugs into this country. It reminds me of a story I heard many, many years ago about the problem with small bits of very bad stuff. It was a father who had several children. They came down to him one day and they wanted to go see this R-rated movie. You're too young to go see an R-rated movie. Oh, but it's a really great movie. It's got a great story, great special effects. And there's only a little bit of language in it. You know, Dad said, let me think about it. A couple hours later, he calls his kids. Hey, come on down. I made fresh brownies. And these brownies are, they have the best chocolate, the best ingredients. I found the best recipe I could find. Oh, yeah, by the way, they just have a little bit of, you know, dog stuff from the backyard. For some reason, the kids didn't want to eat the brownies. And I'm afraid we're dealing with the same effect here. Yeah, I'm sure as bad as our immigration policies are, the majority of people that are coming here don't have evil intent for us. But what percentage of evil intent will we allow before we say, this has got to be dealt with? Well, apparently with the current administration, more than we have now, because it's still happening and the examples of evil entering this country are still growing. And I've got a story I want to tell you after the break about that, because it is the best example of what's happening, what is coming along with all those hardworking immigrants that people keep talking about. But before I get to that, I have to take a break. Now, I ask this every so often. I want to put on a Q&A segment. I want to have a whole segment dedicated to answering your questions. So I'm going to ask you to go to constitutionstudy.com, click the answer, ask a question button on the right-hand side, and ask your question. And please check the box that says answer on the radio. I'd love to do that. I need several questions, so, and don't worry about thinking it's going to be a stupid question. I believe there are only two stupid questions in the world, the one you don't ask and the one you ask three times. So I put it this way. If you think it's a stupid question, I bet you there are hundreds, if not thousands, of people out there that would like to ask that question, but haven't. So again, constitutionstudy.com, click, ask a question. I'd be more than happy to put them together and have a Q&A segment here on the radio. While you're at it, if you want to sign up for a mailing list, maybe purchase a book or t-shirt, or just get involved in some other way, maybe check out the Patriots program. All of that is readily available right there on constitutionstudy.com. Now, another site you should check out, and you should do this every day, is AmericaOutloud.news. It's a great place to see what's going on, to get news and information from different points of view about different things you may not have thought of. See, it's more important than ever that we do more than simply sit back and allow these things to happen. We need to get involved. And your first step is simple. It's share. Find a story or an article that you think is really important and share it. Maybe a video or a podcast that really touches you. Share it. The act of sharing is the act of not only exposing information, but helping us all secure the blessings of liberty.
Voices, one freedom, united in the First Amendment. Our goal is to herald the voice of genuine liberty at AmericaOutloud.news, a place where you'll find the naked truth expressed with a patriotic heart. Now is our time, my fellow Americans. America Out Loud Talk Radio. Liberty and justice for all.
Cholesterol, blood pressure, blood sugar, inflammation, and weight. These are all real-world problems that 87% of Americans are struggling with. Often, there are no symptoms. But left unattended, we become inundated with one health problem after another. It's time to fight back with Heal Right. Heal Right is a bar that you eat, but it's food as medicine that addresses the nutritional root cause of health issues in just 8 weeks. Developed by world-renowned scientists and backed by 15 years of research, Heal Right is effective, but it's also delicious and works without additional diet or lifestyle changes. Step out of the statistics and use food as medicine. Visit healright.com/outloud or americaoutloud.shop and use the code OUTLOUD for 20% off.
You've all heard Dr. McCullough and others share over and over the value of keeping your sinuses cleansed. It's a smart move all year, but even more so when we're cooped up inside. It's not really open for debate any longer. Those that live smart and live well pay attention to nasal and oral hygiene. Cofix RX has just the tools for the job with our nasal and throat cleanse. Click the Cofix RX banner on AmericaOutloud.shop to get 20% off your entire order. That's right, AmericaOutloud.shop. Use coupon code OUTLOUD. That's coupon code OUTLOUD for 20% off your entire order.
Use Cofix RX because it works.
Welcome back, everyday Americans. You rejoin the Constitution Study. Here we go, third and last segment. And I went to the break telling you that I had an article that would show just how dangerous not knowing who's coming into this country is. I mean, we have millions of people who have entered this country that we don't know about. It's not like you can get a good background check from many of the countries they come from. And, you know, we don't know. And that should concern us. Because we have the example here of Basil Abadi, maybe that. I'm not sure. I'm not going to try and pronounce that again. Now, he was caught back on March 9th trying to enter the United States illegally near El Paso, Texas. He's caught by Border Patrol, and he was interrogated. Why did you come to the United States? You know, God bless stupid criminals. Because this person said, I'm going to try to make a bomb. And every so often, you just meet somebody and you wonder why they survived in the gene pool. See, this Mr. Abadi admitted to being a part of Hezbollah, for 11 years. Yeah, Hezbollah. Remember the people that have been attacking Israel and terrorists? He came here to try to make a bomb. He intended, by the way, to go to New York City, where he had planned to spend, a couple of months in a shelter there, thanks to New York City's right to shelter law. He also admitted to using a fake name at least once on his way to the border, claims he has his papers were stolen in Costa Rica, and that his father lived in Ecuador. Now, I don't know about you, but you would think Hezbollah would send somebody that could at least bluff a little bit, that could lie about the origins, wouldn't crack and admit, hey, I'm here to make a bomb. But it makes you wonder, is there like a bit of a survival of the fittest at the moment? I mean, he got caught, possibly because he's not the brightest bulb in the pack. But how many people didn't get caught? How many people, if they were caught, had a better answer than, I mean, want to try to make a bomb? I don't know. And I don't know where they are either. Or then you have the example of Miss Michelle Angelica Pineda. She goes by La Chila. About a week or so ago, she was part of a street gang known as Assassin Artists. And they were, I guess, the enforcement arm one of the enforcement arms for the Sinaloa cartel in Ciudad Juarez, Mexico. Apparently known for dismembering her victims and leaving their excised hearts on altars to some heretical Mexican folk saint. She was also caught trying to cross the border near El Paso. What is it about El Paso? Her plan? Well, she wanted to expand drug operations. Again, the FBI caught her, and they actually extradited her and sent her back to Mexico. Now, again, these are just a few of the hundreds of thousands, the tens of thousands every month of people who are caught by border control. But it's the Black Swan event. Yes, it is unlikely that Hezbollah terrorists gets through. But what they can do is so horrific. Don't we need a little better control over this? Maybe take it a little more seriously than to simply, it's just people who want to come here for a better life. Not all of them. There are reasons why we need to vet people coming into this country. We need to have some semblance of understanding of who they are and what their background is and why they're here. Because let's face it, we have to be right each and every time. The terrorists, the gang members, the cartel members, they only need to be right once to have a terrible disaster happen within this country. Now, I want to close out with going back to the Supreme Court. And I think an interesting case, I'm going to have to spend some more time in. And I admit, I haven't deeply researched this yet. It's on my list, but all right, follow this. According to Title 18 of the United States Code, Section 922, it is illegal for an illegal immigrant to carry a gun or ammunition in the United States. So I know it's a lot of illegal. It's illegal for people who are illegally to carry arms or ammunition, guns or ammunition. Now, this led to the prosecution of a Gilberto Cabrajalia Flores. Cabrajalia, I think that's it. Now, he is an illegal alien, and back in 2020, he was found in Chicago carrying a semi-automatic pistol and said, knowing that he was illegally here and that it was unlawful for him to carry in the United States. Now, here's where life gets interesting. See, the district judge was looking at motions to dismiss, two of which the judge dismissed. The third, she said, maybe not. She goes, the non-possession statute of 18 U.S.C. section 922 G5 violates the Second Amendment as applied to Cabrajal Flores, according to this judge. So they dismissed the case against him. Now, according to Mr. Cabrajal Flores, I'm going to try and get it right. According to his lawyers, that the government should dismiss because the law in question was not part of the historical tradition that delimits the outer bounds of the right to keep and bear arms. This is based on a recent Supreme Court opinion in Bruin, which talks about the historical traditions of the regulation of firearms. However, was it Larry Keene, who's an attorney for the National Shooting Sports Foundation, wrote on X, he said, the Supreme Court has said the people are members of the political community. Illegal aliens in the U.S. are not part of the political community and thus do not have Second Amendment rights, 2A rights. That's interesting to me because, again, as a follower, by what basis did the Supreme Court say that people mean people who participate in the political community? The short version, or I guess the summary of this, is because of all these different opinions out of the Supreme Court and the way the attorneys and the justices are interpreting this, it appears that when the Second Amendment says the right of the people to keep and bear arms is used, the people simply means people. It doesn't require citizenship. It doesn't even require the ability to be here legally. Now, I have to admit, I haven't really sat down and thought this one through. Part of me says, yeah, the people are the people. Your right to free speech isn't based on your participation in the political discourse. Your right to other freedoms designated for the people, the right of the people to be free from unreasonable searches and seizures, isn't based on whether or not you participate in the political body. Why would the Second Amendment be one of them? So I'm kind of leaning towards, unless the crime is a felony, which under federal law you'd have to be convicted of before you could be prohibited from carrying firearms, I kind of think I'm with the judge at this point. Again, take this with a grain of salt, because part of it is there's a lot of convoluted court opinions that are being bandied about here. And to me, there's a lot of questions going around. But my understanding that when the Constitution referred to the people, it meant the people, regardless of their state of legality, right? For example, a police couldn't break into someone's house and seize drugs, and then because they seize the drugs, say, see, this person didn't have Fourth Amendment protections because they were committing a crime. So it doesn't work that way. And I don't know why it would work that way for the Second Amendment. But it also makes you think, if this is true, if we're going to follow this logic, then why should someone be denied the right to keep and bear arms without getting government permission first? So I don't think they should. But it does show a little bit of a dissonance in some of these opinions, which is not surprising, right? You got judges with different points of view. There's a lot going on. So I don't want to say I have a really solid, boom, here's the answer. But I certainly wish you'd think about it. And leave me a comment. Let me know, what do you think? Do you think people who are here illegally should be barred from possessing firearms and ammunition? And if so, why? See, that's the important part. And I've been dealing with this a lot on one of my YouTube videos, where people make definitive statements, but they never explain why it's that way. So if you believe that that illegal aliens should not possess firearms, tell me why. Why are they not human? Why do they not have the right to protect themselves with the best tools possible? Now, if you believe they should be allowed to carry firearms, as long as they use them legally, especially if they've been allowed in, you know, allowed into this country under some sort of process, then again, explain to me why. Right? Right now, I'm kind of leaning on the people are people regardless of whether they're here legally, and that's what the Constitution, and the Constitution says the right of the people to keep and bear arms should not be infringed. So I'm looking for some feedback because I haven't really settled on this one yet. And I'd love the chance to hear your points of view and maybe talk them through here on the air. So give it a shot. So let's take a look. We're dealing with a lot of SCOTUS stuff today, haven't we? A lot of stuff coming out of the Supreme Court of the United States. We had the two cases involving social media. And I think I agree with the court's opinion, although I really don't agree with the headlines that I've seen from two different outlets, because they're only seem to be talking about half of the case. I'm a little concerned, but I'm not done with it yet, but I'm still a little concerned about Alito holding up Texas SB 4. I want to give him the benefit of the doubt and say he's trying to hold the status quo until they get more answers. But the immigration situation, both what's being done by the administration and by the states, there's a lot going on. It's quite dynamic and it's quite frustrating. And I don't think it ends well, but there's something we can do about that. See, if you look at the border, the state of the border, and you say, this is crazy, then you have to ask yourself, are you going to vote for people who support these open borders? I'm not simply talking president. I'm talking Congress. I'm talking members of your state legislature. I'm talking governors. If you're in Texas, do you support what Governor Abbott is doing, trying to protect your borders when the federal government won't? If you're in Arizona, are you supportive of someone who says, no, I don't want the state to be dealing with this legally. Let the feds do it. Just give us money to house these people while you figure out what you're doing. We have to realize that our votes matter. How, you know, let's stop voting for donkeys and elephants. Let's look at the policies. Find the policies that are most important to you and find the people whose agenda, whose policy suggestions aligns with what works best. Not with what you want, not with what you feel, but what actually works best. And if you try something and it doesn't work, well then, try something else. But this idea of we're just going to sit back and whine and complain and expect other people to take care of this for us is kind of how we got here in the first place. And if we refuse to learn from our mistakes, well, we're just bound to repeat them over and over again. As Santayana said, those who refuse to learn from history are doomed to repeat it. I think we can learn, as much as people like to complain about the last 3 years, we can learn from it. Let that learning lead to a judgment. Let us not repeat the mistakes of the past. Let us learn from them and move forward from them. And let's face it, I'm no Trump fan, but of the available candidates, the available policies on offer, I'm much happier with the policies he's been bringing forth, even though I'm concerned, Barry, because he banned bump stocks. He tried to ban bump stocks, and he brought us the rush for the vaccine. So no man is perfect. No one is going to get 100% right. You pick the issues that are most important to you. You find the people that are coming with good outcomes, and you try them. And if they don't work, you try somebody else. But I think it's important that we not simply listen to those who agree with us, that we open our minds to the other side of the story. See, we have to look at what's actually going on and then make our decision from what we can find. We need to have both sides of the story. We need to listen to all sides of the story. It's one of the reasons why I got together with General Flynn to talk about his movie. Yes, General Flynn has a movie coming out, and a lot of people love him, a lot of people hate him, but I want to hear his side of the story. And if you'd like to hear it too, well, please go to constitutionstudy.com/FlynnMovie, FlynnMovie. You can watch the trailer, you can buy tickets to either go to a live event or to stream the movie, but listen to his side of the story. I got to talk with the man briefly. I think it's at least worth listening to his side of the story, whether you love him or you hate him. That's, I think, the honorable and just thing to do. And I hope you'll do me the honor of coming back and joining us for the Constitution Study every weekday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time on America Out Loud Talk Radio, heard on the iHeartRadio Network. If you can't listen then, listen to the podcast. Every episode goes to podcast generally a day or two after it's heard on talk radio. You can listen on your favorite podcast app, but do me a favor, subscribe to the show. Leave the episodes ratings and reviews. It helps other people find the Constitution Study as well. You can find all the links at the homepage at AmericaOutloud.news. But as I keep telling you, don't keep it to yourself. Share this information. It is the act of sharing that also shares the blessings of liberty.